when not to pull weeds. You ever heard that statement before? No, I haven't either. But who likes weeds? Anybody? I got a few pictures here that I want to show you. This is from my house and yard. This is my patio. And as you can see, there are weeds encroaching on my space. I have not gotten to this area of the yard yet, because I like to go out into my yard. It's like a stress reliever. I like to hack things down. Sometimes I get in trouble for hacking things down. I shouldn't have. But let me show you this next picture. This is towards the back of my yard. There are trees in there, but it kind of looks like a jungle, doesn't it? There's all kinds of weeds in there. Next picture. This is another one. This is one. It's a row here. As you can see, I've mowed in between. And I want to mow down all of that. But guess who told me not to? My wife. Because in amongst all those weeds are flowers. And I guess if I show you the next picture, there are flowers there. So I would be mowing down those flowers in amongst those weeds. So sometimes it can be a problem to mow down weeds when you get overzealous like me and want to mow down everything. But that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at a parable that Jesus taught that deals with weeds. And so last week you heard Pastor Ben, our guest preacher, talk about a parable. And this is just a reminder of what a parable is. And so a parable is an earthly story intentional there, with a spiritual or heavenly meaning. And so keep that in mind as I read now this parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So here is the parable Jesus told. This is one of the parables, thankfully, that we get an explanation to in Scripture. So later on in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus explains what this parable means. And so there are seven elements in this parable, if you're paying attention. There was a sower. And in those verses, by the way, verses 36 through 41, Jesus tells us what all the different elements were. The sower is Jesus, the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are sons of the kingdom. He uses that phrase in Matthew 13 there, but that's not also, it's talking about believers. That's us. We're the good seed. Yay! Then there's weeds. The weeds are the unbelievers. The enemy is obviously the devil. The harvest is the last day. And the reapers of that harvest are angels. So Jesus tells us who all the players are here in this parable that he taught. So what is the explanation of this parable? In this world, there are Christians, you and I, who listen, who follow, who believe in Jesus Christ, right? You know, we true Christians, because there are people that call themselves Christians that really aren't Christian. We true Christians, the sons of the kingdom, as Jesus calls us, will inherit eternal life because of what Jesus did on our behalf. Even though we are called the good seed in this parable, make no mistake about this. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God." This is why we are called the good seed, because of God's grace in the form of Jesus dying on that cross. We're not good seed because of what we do. We're good seed because of what Jesus did for us. By the way, just a little side note here. Just showing up isn't what good seed does. Do you know what I mean by that? There's more involved to just showing up to be this good seed that Jesus is talking about. So not only are there believers in this world that we live in, there are unbelievers. Those who do not trust Jesus as their Savior, listen to him or follow him, and reject him altogether. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the wheat and the weeds. It's not always easy, is it, to tell a weed from the wheat? So the context of the parable that Jesus taught here, he's talking about wheat, but there was a weed. It was called a darnel wheat or something like that. And it actually looked really similar to a wheat, to a real wheat. And so that's kind of the context of what's going on here. It's hard to tell. But notice, he tells the servants, the master tells the servants not to go pull the weeds. It's not our job to judge or go pull those weeds. So let me ask you, would it be easy for someone to distinguish if you are a weed or not? And finally, in this parable, the master says there will be an unmixing or weeding done at the harvest. And the harvest is, as I mentioned, is the last day when Jesus comes back. And we are told that the weeds at that time will be bundled together and burned. Strong words from Jesus here. And so that's the basic here explanation of what's going on in this parable. But you know what? This explanation to this parable is not a very popular thing in our culture in 2023. It's just not popular. Because what exactly is this parable telling us? There's three things this parable is telling us, teaching us. The first one is, it's telling us there are only two groups of people in this world. Did you catch that? There's only the sons of the kingdom, sons of the evil one. There's only believers, unbelievers. There's only Christians and non-Christians. Again, this is not popular, is it? It's not woke to say this. Second thing this parable is teaching us, telling us today, contrary to popular opinion, there are not many roads to God. There is only one road to God. Not many. You know, we live in a society that tells us you can and should believe whatever you want to believe. You can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. All you got to do is whatever makes you happy. And nobody can tell you otherwise. We live in this pluralistic society with lots of religions. There's hundreds of religions, including even the people that have no religion at all. They say they're atheists. There's thousands of religions. Only one road. You know, we work, we live, we play with these people that are in this field, in this world. And a lot of them seem like good moral people, right? And it seems arrogant for us Christians to think that our truth is the truth, right? It's arrogant. And everybody else is wrong. But, you know how I like a good but. Jesus said in John 14:6, he was very clear here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, Jesus has a right to be arrogant. He is God, after all. You notice Jesus didn't say, I am a way, a truth. He didn't say, no one comes to the Father except through me and all these other people. He was very clear. The third thing this parable is telling us this morning and teaching us, there will be a final judgment with a real heaven and a real hell. The Bible's clear on this. The Bible teaches in many places. Jesus talks about it in many places. But again, this biblical teaching is not a very popular thing to say, is it? We don't like to talk about it. It makes us uncomfortable to think that some people are going to go to hell. But the Bible is clear. And so that's why we talk about it. So where do we go with this parable now that we've kind of explained it? And what does it mean for us today? Where do we go from here with this? You know, even though there was just a bunch of law and all that, we can take comfort in this parable. Because this parable reminds us that Jesus Christ is in charge. And we are not, which is a good thing, by the way, right? It's not our job to judge. It's not our job to go pulling weeds. Jesus Christ is in charge. This always reminds me of that bumper sticker that kind of bugs me. I've mentioned this before. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, Jesus is my co-pilot? Get out of the driver's seat. He's not your co-pilot. You got to get in the back seat. He is in charge. Notice something else here in this parable. Notice that the sower, the master, told his servants not to go pull the weeds. Why can we take comfort in that? Because there is still time. God is patient. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to be in heaven. You know, we live in a world full of sin. I don't have to really convince you of that, right? Sometimes it seems that the weeds take over, just like in my yard. And we are sometimes tempted to just let the weeds choke us out. It seems at times in our world that evil is celebrated. And we who follow Christ are called arrogant or intolerant or told we need to accept whatever truth that is out there besides the one truth. You know, these weeds that are all around us cause distress. They cause stress. They cause anxiety. They cause unhappiness. They cause discouragement. We could go on and on. There's sin and scandal. There's lawlessness. There's lawbreakers all around us. Life as a Christian isn't always easy, and we were told it's not going to be easy. Well, let me ask you, do you ever feel like life just isn't fair? Has anybody ever thought that? That the weeds are winning. The weeds are choking us all out. It's just not fair. We should be able to go pull those weeds, right? Makes us ask questions, you know, why can't things just be different, Jesus? Why can't you just come now and end it? How long, oh Lord, how long are you going to take? Good grief, it's been 2,000 years already since he, you know, went back up into heaven. How much longer? The answer is in this parable. The answer is, how long do we have to wait? Not forever. The day is coming when the Savior that we all long for is coming back to this earth. The Bible is extremely clear about that. We're going to hear a trumpet sound that's going to be very loud. And we're going to make no mistake about it. Where the one, the Savior, Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth to shed his blood and die for each and every one of your sins. And everybody sins, even those weeds sins. Because he loves us that much. This is the one who would rather go through the suffering and death and the bleeding and the torture than live in eternity without you. This is the one who is coming back. Amen. Let's pray.